Yes, y'all know the term. Verse 9, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, and that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. So just a few things tonight about prayer as we pray. Ready? Heavenly Father, Lord, we need you tonight. We pray, God, that you would help us as children of you, the Lord, to communicate with you. And Lord, do so daily. Lord, may we rely upon you. And Lord, may we continue to develop a greater walk with you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we see the genealogy. That's the word I was trying to say a while ago. The genealogy of the tribe of Judah. And so apparently, Jabez was of the tribe of Judah. And we see again a long list of names. As we read through this, we're not going to read all the names. As we read a long list of names, and then all of a sudden, without warning, you have these two verses. It's kind of like when you read about various other people in the Bible. I'm going to cover some of those maybe later down the road this year. But you think about Enoch. All of a sudden, you're reading about genealogies, and all of a sudden, boom, here's Enoch, the story of Enoch, which is only two or three verses. And so, at least in the Old Testament, it gives us a little more insight in the New Testament. And so here we just kind of have, again, a shooting star, just a couple of verses mentioning Jabez. And again, nothing else is really said about this man in the Bible, except maybe 2 Chronicles 2:55 may allude to that a city was called after him. And that also would fit with Jewish tradition, which Jewish tradition says that Jabez was a scribe. And if you were a scribe, especially one of honorable mention, as it's mentioned here in the Bible, many times there could be a city named after you. So maybe that's the case, but he was more than likely a scribe. And Jabez, again, is an encouragement that here we have, again, this big long list of names, and all of a sudden God stops. That's what happened. God wrote the book, right? God stops and mentions Jabez. Four things it mentions about Jabez here, or at least implies about himself, not just the prayer, but about him. Number one, it says that he was honorable. Honorable. Look there with me. It says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. More honorable than his brethren. As you can see here, even in this term, it's a comparative term. He's saying that he was more honorable. Not that necessarily that his brothers were wicked, but certainly that he was more honorable than them. More honorable than them. And there's many verses in the Bible where you can speak up and turn to, speaking about that which is honorable. That which is honorable. We'll cover that in a moment too. And then it's a social term. And we think about he or she is more honorable than this other person, or he or she is more honorable than this person. A social term that we use, an honorable man, an honorable woman. And then three, it's a spiritual term. It's applied to many in the Bible. It speaks in 1 Samuel of those who have been saved. It speaks in John 12 of those who have been serving. And then one you might be really familiar with, it speaks in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 through 21. We won't turn there, but you remember the verse where Paul's speaking to Timothy and he says, there are some vessels unto honor, some vessels unto dishonor. And we as Christians ought to be vessels of honor, vessels of honor. Meat are fit for the master's use. And so we ought to be honorable. We ought to be honorable. And that has to do with being saved, of course, having to do with being a child of God. It has to do with serving the Lord and serving Him and being a part of serving Him. And then separated, being separated from the world unto God. Honorable, being honorable. So, Jabez was an honorable man. An honorable man. He was, secondly, an overcomer. The name Jabez means sorrowful. It means sorrowful. Apparently, in his birth, it was a difficult birth, and apparently, more than likely, not only did it affect the mom, but it affected Jabez. Maybe he had a deformity, or whatever the case may be. That's, again, Jewish tradition says that he probably had a deformity. So it was a difficult birth. But he overcame his own name. Remember, the Jews connected the name to the person, and the name meant something. Our names don't mean nothing, but their names meant something. So as they lived their life, they would, their name, every time their name was mentioned or their name was called, the definition of their name would come to mind. Why do you think Jacob's name meant supplanter? Supplanter. Could you imagine every time your name is being called that you know that you are supplanter? In other words, you are a cheater. Anyway, you guys are asleep tonight. And so here, Jabez overcomes the definition of his name. And then number three, so he's an overcomer. Number three, he was greatly blessed. We know that again from the verse 10 that God granted him, God blessed him. And God's hand was upon him. And then number four, he was a man of prayer. A man of prayer. It's amazing to me how many times men and women in our church go unnoticed and maybe don't serve in, you know, in the places in which we notice, whether it's the choir or teaching a Sunday school class. But as we mentioned just a few weeks ago, everybody can pray. And I really do believe individuals from my childhood that I remember, individuals in our the church, this church that I have been pastor of for 20 years, and I know several individuals in this church who are prayer warriors. And I can tell you that there are times in which I go to them and ask them to pray for certain things. Most of them are ladies. Why is that the case, men? Why is that the case? I'm smiling, but it is true. So many times these individuals go unnoticed, but I'm telling you, God takes note. Again, in this big long list of names of the tribe of Judah, God takes that telescope and brings it down to a microscope and focuses just two verses on this man. Why? Well, he was an honorable man. He was a man who overcame the definition of his name. He's a man whom God blessed, and a man who was a man of prayer. So we see, number one, about the prayer itself, that Jabez prayed intelligently. In other words, he called on the God of Israel. Look at verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. There is something significant about this, in that he's not calling upon God, but that little tag that says he called on the God of Israel is important. It means he's praying to the God of the covenant. So that would mean that Jabez understood the covenant. We think about the Old Testament. What does the Old Testament mean? It means Old Testament. It means Old Covenant. New Testament means New Covenant. New Covenant. So God made a covenant with who? God made a covenant with Abraham. Actually, God made a covenant with Adam and Eve, the Adamic covenant. But primarily here, it would be speaking about the covenant that God made with Abraham. Abraham. So Jabez was absolutely aware of the promises that were given to Abraham, that God promised that through Abraham, all nations would be blessed. God promised to Abraham the soil in which he walked upon. He promised Abraham that through his seed, the Messiah would come. Jabez, there's zero doubt, because of the tag, instead of just saying God, he said the God of Israel, that he understood the covenant. It's the same tagline or the same way in which Solomon prayed when Solomon finished the temple, when the temple was completed, and Solomon began to dedicate the temple. And when he's dedicating the temple, when he prayed, he didn't just say, okay, God of heaven. No, he said, the God of Israel, the God of the covenant. Look, God, what has happened, God? That God, here's your temple. Here is your place. Here is your place in which they put the Ark of the Covenant and so forth. So he identified as the God of the covenant. So what does that mean? Well, we presume a few things then. We presume that because he understood and knew what the tag is, a God of Israel, that he understood the covenant, it meant that he had a walk with God. He understood the covenant. He understood, and let me use a different word. He understood the promise. He understood the promises of God. He understood that God promised things to his people. He understood that God promised great things to his people. And so as he prayed, we can see through this prayer that he had a close and intimate walk with God. He called on God. I want to remind you tonight that the condition for answered prayer is actually knowing God. That God does not hear the prayer of a lost person until they call upon him for salvation. The condition upon which we come to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Our Savior. It's important. It's important in our walk with God that we have prayer with him. It's important that we have a close daily walk with God. John chapter 15, Jesus said, "Abide in me." And what will happen, he said, "The results of abiding in him is that you ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." John 15, verse 7. Child of God, do you realize today that, as I said this morning, that we have such a tremendous power source that we do not tap into near enough? We take for granted, honestly. And as our prayer life ebbs and flows, our devotional life ebbs and flows, that I said it the other day, our ebb and flow should have a trend upward. And by the way, the ebb and flow shouldn't be like this. You know, I mean, it'll straight on this side. This is not the Christian life. This is the Christian life. And if you're doing this, there's a problem. But as it ebbs and flows, and that's what the Bible speaks about, illustrated for us in the book of Judges, as it ebbs and flows, it should trend upward. We understand and know, and if you're a new Christian tonight, it's important that you have a daily walk with God. It's important that you have that you have fellowship with him. We know because, again, that Jabez called upon the God of Israel, that he had confidence in God. He had confidence in the God of Israel, the God of Israel, the covenant God, the God of promise. Are you confident in God's promises? I think again about this morning. I'm thankful there's promises that have been given to us, and those promises God has to keep. Yes, he's an all-powerful God, but he has made promises to us, and God cannot lie. So therefore, he has to keep them. He's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. He's promised to never fail you. Never fail you. People fail us. God never fails us. And God has promised to supply all your needs. And we can go on and on and on about the promises of God. And Jabez had confidence in God. Do you have confidence in God? I hope after this morning we have a renewed confidence in God. God is much bigger than anything in any circumstance that comes into your life. And God is greater. And as we sing as kids, God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla or the monsters on TV. That is a VeggieTales song. Prior to VeggieTales going south, and I wouldn't allow my kid. We had to take him anyway. Why do all good things start out? I mean, the things start out good, and then they go south. And VeggieTales got their minds on money, and therefore, okay, I'll stop. But God's much bigger. God's so big. And Jabez had confidence in the God of promise. Our approach to God is through the blessings of the new covenant. Again, Jabez approached God through the Old Testament covenant. We have it greater than, we have it better than that. We approach the God of promise through the new covenant. And that is, as we go to him, he has promised that if we pray, that he will answer. By the way, pray in Jesus' name. That John chapter 16, verse 23 and 24, make it very, very clear that when you pray, that Jesus Christ is the mediator. Amen. Now, it doesn't use that term in that particular verse. It uses another verse. But in that verse, it speaks very clearly that when you pray, we pray in Jesus' name. A lot of people today don't have a problem with praying to God. Its problem is when you tag on the end of it, "In Jesus' name we pray." But you know that's biblical. It's biblical for you to say at the end of your prayer, "In Jesus' name, amen." Because Jesus is the mediator. He is the one that goes between us and God. He is the one. We pray through Jesus to God. Amen? And that is the New Testament covenant. We pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask He says anything we ask in His name, He will give it to us. He will give it to us. So if you are, again, a relatively new Christian, remembering as you're praying, you pray in Jesus' name. And it's amazing to me, again, how the name of Jesus tagged onto a prayer causes problems, especially praying at, in areas of government and other areas. Everybody's okay until you bring up Jesus' name. But I proudly do, don't you? Amen? And then we think about, not only did Jabez pray intelligently, but he prayed fervently. I know this, just these couple little words, but it is important. Oh, he said, oh, that thou wouldest bless me. Why did he add indeed? Oh, that thou would bless me indeed. Oh, that thou would bless me indeed. He had an intense desire. He prayed with an intense desire. He prayed fervently. Think about Jacob, and I mentioned this a while ago. Jacob in Genesis 32, when he had left his father-in-law and he was fleeing, and all of a sudden he met somebody. And him and that somebody had a wrestling match one night. That somebody was a theophany, it was Jesus. And he said, the theophany, Jesus said, hey, let me go. And they were wrestling, and Jacob said, no, I'm not going to let you go until you what? Remember the story? He said, I'm not letting you go till you bless me. Till you bless me. Would you think that Jacob was being a little intense there? Do you think Jacob understood he was outmatched? Absolutely. But Lord, once he realized who it was, Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Jabez says, oh, that thou would, indeed. May we pray with passion. So many times we do not pray with passion. We do not pray with passion. Jacob, I will not let you go unless you bless me. By the way, he did bless him in verse 29 of Genesis chapter 32. And by the way, not only did he bless him, but he changed his name from supplanter, from Jacob, to Israel, father of nations. Imagine that. Imagine that. Oh, that thou would bless me indeed. May we as Christians not pray half-heartedly. May we pray with passion. Think about Miss Grigsby. When I sit down in the morning to do my devotions and prayer, I can't just pray her name and not be a little passionate about it. The way I feel about Miss Grigsby, the way I pray that God, man, God could still heal her. There is no cure for ALS. God can do anything. And so we are to pray passionately. We are to pray fervently. Again, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then Jabez prayed specifically. Four things here his request was made. He said, Lord, that thou would bless me indeed. Thou would bless me indeed. He understood that he needed grace. He understood, as we said this morning, that he needed God's strength. We all need to humble ourselves and remember that we need his grace. We need his strength. The word grace, again, is not just God's unmerited favor, but God's unmerited favor even unto enablement. It's God's grace that's there in the time of need. He's promised to help us in our time of need, to give us grace and help in our time of need. And may we go to him and pray based upon his promise to give us that. Understand, many times when we pray, if you're asking for strength, might be good. There's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, you promised to give us strength. Lord, I need your strength. Like being a lawyer and going before God and say, Lord, you've promised to never leave us. Lord, I really need your comfort and I really need your presence today. I need to know that you're near. You can pray that way based upon the promises. And Jabez did pray that way. He prayed that God would bless him and give him strength. And then he said, enlarge my coast. What does that mean? Well, he prayed for growth. He prayed that he might grow. He prayed that he might grow in grace. He might be, again, strengthened, but also grow in grace. And you say, well, maybe this is talking about also stuff. It may be. And by the way, there's nothing wrong praying for stuff. Right? We pray. We praise God for who he is. We repent of our sins. And we ask for others. Then we ask for ourselves. That acrostic, and then we yield to whatever God determines, whatever God wants, whatever God's will is for our life. Amen? But here, according to, again, the way in which it's written, he's asking that God would help him grow. Can I tell you, as Christians, we need to grow. We need to grow in grace. Peter, growing grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Something I did not mention this morning that I've mentioned many, many times. The more we understand who Jesus is, the more knowledge we have of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater we are able to go through circumstances in life. I mentioned this morning the greater we understand God, but understand that to know Jesus is to know God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How do I know how God loves? I see how God loves because how Jesus loves. And so we pray that God would help us to grow. And then number three, he said that thine hand might be with me. Thine hand might be with me. Pray for God for guidance in life. Well, that's something that all of us need, isn't it? I think of every time I think about guidance, I think about Moses. Remember Moses and God going back and forth, I don't know, four, five, six times when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt. The children of Israel would rebel and act up and say, oh, why did you bring us out here in this wilderness to die? And then God would say to Moses, hey, get out of the way. Let me destroy this these people. And then Moses, they would act up and they would, you know, just stiffen their necks and rebel. And Moses would say, God, take them out. And God would say, no, you know, it was kind of a back and forth. And finally there in Genesis chapter 32, 30, 31, 32, 33, God says, I'm done. You know, I'm not going with you. And Moses comes back to him and says, Lord, if you don't go with us, we're not going. And you see how there through Moses that God said, I will go with you. But he said, Lord, if you're not going with us, we don't want to go. And that's how our life should be. Lord, I need you. I need your guidance. And Lord, if you're not going to be with me, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. Because without him, we're nothing. Without him, we're nothing. May we keep our eyes and keep our thoughts upon the guidance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lean not into that own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he, what? Will direct thy paths. That he would guide us, that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And then lastly, he asked for godliness, that thou wouldest keep me from evil. In the New Testament, we are asked by the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount to be salt. We are to be a light, according to the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples. May we as Christians, we ought to desire to be salt in this earth. We ought to desire to be a light. Philippians describes that as being a light in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, that we should shine as lights in the world. Can I just remind you that there's evil out there? And it's not just the stuff we read on Fox News. But you every day are faced with temptation and evil. Lord, lead us what? The Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, lead us not into temptation, but to what? Deliver us from evil. We need to be reminded that it lurks around the corner, that Satan's out to destroy us. The Bible says there in Peter that he is a roaring lion seeking who may devour. Satan desires to sift you. Satan desires to destroy you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to take you out. Jabez understood this. So, Lord, keep me from evil. You know, dads, we need to be praying for our homes. We need praying that God would keep our homes from evil. Maybe the prayer could be stated as, I do this when I go into families' homes, and sometimes before I leave, we'll have a prayer, and I say, Lord, put a hedge of thorns of protection about this house. That's biblical. It was God who removed the hedge from Job and allowed Satan to buffet him, right? We want that hedge around our home. We want that hedge around our life. Lord, that's what Jabez is praying, basically. Lord, keep me from evil. Keep me from evil. Be proactive in this. Lord, I don't want to have to face evil. Lord, keep me from evil. Keep me from evil. Four parts to the prayer. And it says, and God granted him that which he requested. I remind you that James says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Fervent prayer gets answered. Fervent prayer gets answered. And God delights in answering prayer. We think about this in Jeremiah and Psalms and the book of John. God delights in answering prayer. Do you delight in giving your kids stuff they request? Let me put it this way. Grandparents, do you delight in giving things to your grandkids that they request? Or that they don't request? Like, just here's my wallet. Throw it at them. Not to kids, but to grandkids. It's a totally different thing. I love it. It's awesome. But we delight in giving stuff to our kids. We do. We delight in doing things for them. And sometimes, of course, as parents, we had to be disciplined, as I said this morning, and withhold and do. But boy, when we do get that opportunity to do something for our kids, it just makes us delight in doing things. Can I tell you, the Bible makes it very clear that God delights in answering your prayer. God delights in it. But you got to pray first. You got to pray first. Every once in a while, I've asked my dad for some stuff. If I'd have never asked him, I would have never got anything. I'm the middle child, though. It was a while before I got anything. Yeah, quit crying. How many of y'all are middle children? Raise your hand. Keep it up. How many of y'all? Okay, all right, put them back down. How many of y'all's middle children got less stuff than your other siblings? No, some of y'all didn't. How many of y'all got less attention? No, I'm just kidding. Middle child syndrome is real. It is real. But if you never ask, you're not going to receive. And maybe this is actually a good lesson for some of the other young couples who may be too proud to ask. You know, the first few years of our marriage, I'd never asked my dad for nothing, and he would attest to that. But there came a time where I was either going to have to do this or this, and I went to my dad for some wisdom, and he volunteered. He volunteered to say, hey, I could do this for you. I'm like, really, for me? This is not Danny asking. This is not Rachel asking. You're going to do that for me? I'm glad to have dad in the church now, so this all works out good. But yet, if we never ask, we don't receive. God delights in answering our prayers. Let's put it all together. Jabez was an honorable man. He walked with God. He walked with God. Apparently had an intimate relationship with God, understanding the covenant, understanding the promises that were given. Jabez was a praying man. He prayed to God. He understood where the blessings come from. He understood his need for help. I think sometimes maybe we don't pray because we're not humbled enough. Right? Everything's going okay. We don't need to pray until, you know, and then 911. By the way, I'm thankful God still answers the 911 calls. I'm thankful for that. But we as Christians ought to have a daily relationship with Him, where we come to Him every day. We're not having to dial 911 necessarily because we're coming to Him every day. And Jabez understood his need for help. Listen, I can't do it. I've got to rely upon the Lord and His strength. So I would say that to you tonight that Jabez was an honorable man, but Jabez was a humble man. And because Jabez was an honorable man, a humble man, Jabez was a blessed man. A blessed man. Tonight, are you an honorable Christian? Tonight, are you a humble Christian? Because an honorable Christian and a humble Christian is a blessed Christian. Again, I don't know why I do this, but because I think because of the way in which I was raised in church, and sometimes these things came across wrong. God loves you no matter what. And I know I use this term a lot, but we don't believe in performance-based Christianity because the Bible doesn't teach it. But the blessings of God are contingent upon our actions. You want blessings from God? It's going to require you to do some praying. Because if we never ask, we won't receive. And if we go to God, we go to Him humbly. Lord, I can't do this. There's nothing that I can do, physically speaking, for Leslie Grigsby. I might go over and help mow her yard or but I'm saying for her, I don't have the ability to heal her. But God does. We humble ourselves before God and say, God, I am little, you're big. God, you're the Almighty, the all-powerful one. Lord, I need you. And whatever circumstance that may be, humble ourselves to Him. And if you come to Him as an honorable Christian, a humble Christian, you'll be a blessed Christian. Let's all stand.